for our service of morning prayer. We meet just after what has been a very busy 9:30 family communion service. And I do hope that you got into St. Columba's without getting too cold in the Arctic conditions outside. The good news is there will be coffee after this service, and we are delighted to welcome Eddie Cadden, along with members of the Cadden family who are here for a very poignant and significant occasion. As you see in the Pew News, they have gifted a wonderful new altar frontal cabinet, which is down at the baptistry in memory of Yvonne, who was the most loyal and hardworking member of our church here over many, many years. And so today we remember Yvonne, we give thanks for all that she did here to enrich our church as we dedicate this wonderful altar frontal cabinet to the glory of God, generously given by the Cadden family. So all of you are most welcome this morning. And also the Ladies Guild, where Yvonne was the most conscientious treasurer for many decades, are kindly providing the refreshments for all of us to enjoy after this service. The Ladies Guild invite you to join them next Wednesday for their annual charity event. And this year they are supporting Mission to Seafarers and are delighted to have one of our own parishioners, Jeff Launchbury, to give the presentation. Please give them your support at 7:45 on Wednesday and enjoy the light supper. Due to the snow a few weeks ago, the Women's World Day of Prayer service had to be postponed, and it has been rescheduled for this coming Friday at Bloomfield Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. That's the Women's World Day of Prayer service this Friday, Bloomfield Presbyterian Church at 8 p.m. and all are welcome. You see in the Pew News full details of all the Holy Week services. These will commence next Sunday, and do please put them somewhere where you can see in your home very clearly, and you're most welcome to be with us. The services will, as in previous years, we will share with Knock Methodist Church, the lunchtime services in Knock Methodist, and the evening services here in St. Columba's, and all are welcome. Tonight, at the Holy Communion service, it'll be a great delight and joy for me to commission the new select vestry for the coming year, along with our new church wardens, who will take up officially their new responsibilities tonight. We observe now a few moments' silence.
God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
In the Lord's name be praised.
We have sinned.
Our Lenten readings have illustrated God's historic covenant with his people. Now we hear Jeremiah's prophecy of an entirely new covenant, not based on ancient law, so easy to break, but written deep in the hearts of everyone who longs to know and be known by God. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out to the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Save a people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern them and hold them now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin.
Jesus was human enough to be greatly disturbed at what he sensed lay before him, yet he will glorify his Father's name, trusting in the power not only to lift him, but draw all people to himself. The New Testament reading is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
We look to you.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From the singing of Ireland's call to the referee's final whistle yesterday at Twickenham, there certainly was commitment given on many fronts. Not just the Irish team, but also all those who were there to share in the experience and to offer their support. Despite the Arctic weather conditions, despite the groundsmen having thought they had all their preparations done, yesterday morning the white became blue when they were working hard to recolour the lines in the event of the snow. But fortunately, it didn't come at the thickness that had perhaps been forecasted. Coming up from Down Cathedral yesterday, following the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, the roads were deserted. It was the fastest journey I had made from Down Cathedral, all within the legal speed limits, because there was nobody around. And yet, looking in through houses as I was driving past, you could see people in their drawing rooms all focused on the television sets. Yesterday in Down Cathedral, we gathered to mark St. Patrick's Day, where there was an opportunity to focus on the commitment of Patrick and also on the courage of Patrick in bringing faith to Ireland and all those who have responded to the call of Patrick to serve Christ. That sense of commitment, that sense of courage, and that sense of call that we saw yesterday in a very practical sense, both in Twickenham and also in Down Cathedral, is just what is required now on this Passion Sunday, because our journey through Lent is now taking a very sharp corner. We are now focused exclusively on the cross, and our liturgy, our readings, and our music are now focusing on the sufferings that Christ is going to endure for you and for me on the cross. All of a sudden, all those earlier weeks of Lent have gone, and now we are entering into a time of deep suffering and pain, which Christ is going to endure for all of us as we make our way through these challenging days to Good Friday, and then this day fortnight to Easter. As we heard in the New Testament reading, Jesus himself was having a wobble in the midst of all that he was now going to be about. We can understand that, can't we? It's all very easy to be joyful, to be confident, to be courageous, to show support when all is going well. We all like to be involved in the party. We like to be involved in these celebrations. But what about those days when life seems hard and things are tough and things are not just as we would have wanted or wished for? Isn't it very easy on those days to have a wobble? And then we wonder, are we going to fall flat? Well, Jesus was having such a wobble in the reading today. There was a sense of realization, yes, the road ahead is going to be tough. But then he realizes just how tough that road is going to be, because he's going to end up crucified on the cross on Good Friday. The crowds that were all there are all offering support on the good days. And now Jesus knows he's going to be making his way to that cross. That was a difficult message for Jesus to comprehend, for Jesus to take on board, and then for Jesus to share with all those who are around him. Picture the scene. It's wonderful to be in a gathering where good news is being conveyed. But then when challenging news is put into that equation, all of a sudden there is a seismic change. The mood of those who are there changes. Sometimes, what do we say? Words can fall away. What is the response? The atmosphere turns.
Well, here we're seeing the beginning of all of this as Jesus now sets himself to the cross. Yes, the wobble, the realization, the understanding of what it is that he has got to do. As we sang earlier this morning in the wonderful hymn by Mrs. Alexander, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Archbishop William Temple suggested many, many years ago that it must have been an almost impossible task to invite the world to take seriously a gospel which had at its core God on a gallows. Yet the extraordinary truth is that the cross, that awful instrument of torture and death, was totally transformed by Christ and is today a symbol of goodness and one that offers love, blessing, and hope. Such was the greatness of Christ, the person who died upon it. But the question now for all of us is surely this: what is our response to this journey that Christ is now on? Where are we going to be? Let's go back to Twickenham for a moment. If the crowds hadn't got there because of the wobble in the weather, the forecast was getting more and more harsh as the time ticked away for the match to start. What would have happened if the crowd hadn't turned up? Yes, you would have had the teams, perhaps, if it was safe to play, and the TV cameras, but there wouldn't have been anything else. What about us? Christ is on this journey that's going to take him in 12 days' time to the cross itself. Where are we going to be in relation to all of that? Are we going to let our daily agendas and diaries, which are so full anyway, overlook all of this journey that Christ is on for you and for me? Or are we going to enter into it fully to the best of our ability and to be with Christ every step of the way, and also to realize the sacrifice that Christ made, not for himself, but for us? That wonderful sacrifice of himself, are we too going to gather at the foot of the cross to be with Christ at that time of horrendous suffering? When he is lifted up from the earth of the cross, he will draw everyone to himself, everyone without exception. The suffering servant, Christ, will be raised up on the cross for all to see. It was so very public. The hope of resurrection for that servant is indeed there. But first, he must be raised up on the cross and die. And the full gaze of a scornful public. Death is essential for future life. And that was applied by Jesus to himself. May we walk this walk. May we travel this path. And may we go with Jesus day by day, because unless we have first stood at the foot of the cross, we are unable, with full commitment, to stand and sing the Alleluias of Easter Day, this day fortnight, because we give thanks that we're not Good Friday people, but rather we are Easter people. May we first share with Christ on the cross and then come and proclaim the good news of the resurrection to give true hope to all, no matter what our circumstance. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed his most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 112. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant your government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shine with joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The Collect of the Week. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And the daily Lent collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us, that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All of us here in St. Columba's have many joyful memories of Yvonne Cadden, who was the most loyal and conscientious member of our parish over many, many decades, and not just a most regular attender at this 10:30 service, but also was a most involved member of the Ladies' Guild. And not just as a member of the Ladies' Guild, she served as honorary treasurer for decades in a most exemplary manner. Yvonne had this philosophy of finance that it was more blessed to receive than to give out. And woe betide any member of the Ladies' Guild who would dare go into a Ladies' Guild meeting and walk past her table and chair without paying their subscriptions, which was cleverly located just at the door, and Yvonne would not miss anybody trying to sneak in around the person who was already paying their subscriptions. But Yvonne controlled the finance in an exemplary way, but with that, a wonderful sense of humour. And all of us have many memories and connections with all of the conversations we've had with Yvonne. My mind goes back personally as rector a number of years ago when Yvonne was in the Ulster Hospital. I came along one afternoon to see her. There she was holding court with the chaplain of the Ladies' Guild, at that time Joan Medill. And so I was on the approach to her bed, the chaplain in deep conversation with Yvonne, and Yvonne saw me turning the corner. And I knew that the Ladies' Guild Christmas dinner was rapidly approaching on the diary. And Yvonne, of course, guarded the checkbook with all her might, guarded the arrangements with all of her focus and strength. And I knew that she was at that time not very well. And I thought, being the rector, if I were to offer some assistance, it might well be well received. I said to Yvonne, in front of the chaplain, "How about, Yvonne, you look after yourself and give yourself a good chance to get better with the support of the medical staff, and entrust the financial and practical arrangements of the Christmas dinner to the chaplain and myself as rector." Well, the response was no. The chaplain and the rector were not even to be entrusted with the preparations for the dinner. And Yvonne was there on that night, and Yvonne was looking after the checkbook on that night. Such commitment, such support, quietly given. And even when she was not very well on the oxygen, she was at the back of church in the church warden's seat. That was her commitment to her church here over many decades. What a wonderful example Yvonne has given, as we said at her funeral service. And now the family have given a wonderful gift in memory for all of us to have that legacy continue on, of that sense of focus, that sense of commitment and worship, because the altar frontals have to be kept in a large cabinet. The cabinet that we had was in very poor condition, and the large wooden screens that used to be at the very back of the main aisle, just in front of the tables that used to sit there before the refurbishment, have now been used to make the cabinet, which was made by the cabinet maker who made the West End T-point unit. And so I'm going to invite the congregation to stand. I'm going to invite the Cadden family to come with me to the West End as the church wardens request me to dedicate this cabinet, generously given by the family, to the glory of God, to be used in this church. God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks and praise for faithful men and women who have placed their lives in your service and the work of your church here in this parish. We pray that you will find this gift acceptable in your sight, use it for your glory and the enrichment of this place of worship, that here all may find a welcome and lives may be transformed by your living presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the faith of Jesus Christ, I dedicate this gift to the glory of God and his worship in this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, you dwell in the high and lowly place, yet you seek by your Spirit to dwell in the hearts of your people, making them a temple for your own glory. Be present with all who are members of this church, that they may dedicate their lives afresh to you in your service, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated for the anthem. Let us pray.
Everlasting God, your Son chose 12 disciples to work together to spread the good news of the gospel. Help us as we work together in our parish for the common good. May we delight in sharing each other's spiritual gifts and enabling everyone to make their own contribution, however small. May we always be ready to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. We give thanks for the life and contribution of Yvonne Cadden on the dedication of the altar frontal cabinet to her memory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God of mercy and source of justice, pour on your people such love and compassion that we cannot remain silent, we cannot tolerate injustice and poverty. As your grace fills our hearts, so may we be stirred into action to demonstrate your love for all the world and for all people who live and move on this earth. May they learn of your love and somehow come to newness of life, even in the midst of despair. Forgive us, Lord, for our apathy, for our lack of courage to speak out. Forgive us when we walk past and don't offer help. Forgive us when we get it wrong. We confess that we are afraid. We don't want to overcome our hidden doubts and prejudices in order to be alongside those who are different from ourselves. We ask that you would lead us into action. Give us strength to be a voice crying for justice and peace. Help us to step into another person's shoes, or if they have no shoes, then not to be afraid to take off our own. May we be a liberating presence and offer love, compassion, and whatever is needed to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Amen. God of mercy and love, let us serve you in our world. We pray for countries where justice seems far away, where human rights are ignored. Let us remind those in power that prisoners are not forgotten. We pray that the dignity of life is respected and remember those who have lost that dignity through age or infirmity or neglect. We pray for situations where the gender of a baby may lead to abandonment, where women are not offered the same opportunities or are actively demeaned or mutilated. May we act to challenge injustice and seek to affirm your love for all humankind. We pray for those who have no peace, for those who are troubled and torn apart by lack of self-esteem, for those who torment and victimize the vulnerable. We pray for men and women affected by violence in the home, and for those who live by violence. We pray for those who are trafficked and for those who organize and profit from selling other humans. Loving Lord, let us not stand aside and tolerate lack of basic human resources, dehumanizing practices, or the use of violence to disempower your people. Give us strength to act and challenge hatred and instead bring your justice and mercy. In your name, we humbly ask that we may be a channel for your peace and love. Amen. Father God, we thank you for all those who help our community to run smoothly because of their jobs, voluntary work, or neighbourliness. Help us to be supportive and encouraging, and to step into situations where we can serve. Bless our neighbours, and strengthen those who are working in your name in order to bring healing and comfort to those in need. 40 days alone, a wilderness of thoughts, tempting and inviting thoughts, which could so easily have distracted you from your task, your mission, your vision. Yet you emerged stronger and more attuned to all that had to be done, despite a time constraint that to our eyes would have seemed hopeless. We too live in stressful times. Demands are made of our time that leave so little for the important things of life. We are easily distracted in the wilderness of our lives by every call to go this way or that. We listen to the voices of this world and ignore the one who endured all this and so much more, and emerge triumphant, that we might not have to suffer so. Forgive us, Father, when we get distracted from our task. Forgive us those times when we try to be all things to all men and fail to be anything to anyone. Loving God, as we go forth from this time of worship, help us to remember that you do infinitely more for us than we can ask or imagine. Hear our prayers for all your creation and gather us in the embrace of your abundant and life-giving Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you.
Let us pray. Christ, draw you to himself. Grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.